Dear kind and righteous Father, we come to you this evening grateful for this opportunity of life once more, and for the opportunity to come together on this evening to listen to the gospel. Lord, we pray this evening that in the grace that you have offered through your Son Jesus, that someone listening will accept grace and the conditions by which grace is accessed. Pray, Lord, in the message tonight that Brother Evans makes it clear that there are consequences for not obeying the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, that these consequences are eternal. Pray, Lord, that someone considers their soul and the eternal ramifications of what it means to reject your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that there is someone whose heart is open, who is humbled, who is sincere tonight, and wants to examine the scriptures and believe these tenets that teach us that your Son Jesus is your only begotten Son, that what he accomplished on the cross and the power you wrought in him when you raised him from the dead, and that the church, the one church he purchased with his own blood, can be located and can be accessed through the gospel this evening, Lord. Pray, Lord, that someone wants to be added to the church tonight. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We're so thankful to have each and every person on the call tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Griff, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call, and we're so thankful this night has been given to us by God. It's a blessing. Phone lines are lighting up. I'm just amazed at how many people are calling in tonight on a Monday night to hear the word of God. And we're so thankful, especially for those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guest in the audience. You're the VIP, the very important person. Now, we ask you to take your Bible, open it up, pay attention to the things Brother Sean Evans will talk about as it pertains to the saving of your soul. That's this whole purpose of this call is to save souls. Our primary audience are those who are not members of the Church of Christ. And we certainly want the members of the church to be edified, but this is a call to reach those who don't know this simple truth that we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight, our speaker, Brother Sean Evans, a good friend of mine, someone I've grown to know and love. And I spent time in his home, done a gospel meeting for him. They're at the Tylertown Church of Christ in Tylertown, Mississippi. Great man of God, great wife, and a great family man, and so powerful in the scripture. We want him to come in his own way. Sean, we know that there is somewhere in the Bible that says, have you not read about them that obey not the gospel? Sean, talk to us about that. What about those people?
Yes, sir. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians. Starting at chapter 1 and verse number 6. Through this lesson, as we look at those who have not obeyed the gospel, them that obeyed not the gospel, I want to make sure when you leave here tonight, number one, you understand what the gospel is and that you understand what it means not to obey it and that you understand why you need to obey it as well. And so I want to make sure that tonight, you all, that we enunciate these points, that when we're sharing this with folks, when you leave here tonight, there will be no doubt in your mind if you have obeyed the gospel according to the way that Jesus, our Lord himself, said that they should obey. So we're going to look at what Paul says about them that obeyed not the gospel and allow some others to explain to us as well through the scriptures. The Bible says, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well. When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution, pay attention here, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So when we look at them that obey not the gospel, the first thing I want you all to look at what Paul is saying here, the word obey. What does this word obey mean? We said they did not obey the gospel. I'm going to get to the first part of that in just a second, to know not God, but I want to look at the word obey first, because if you don't understand the word obey, it means to render submissive acceptance. So So what Paul is saying, these folks was not willing to be submissive and accept what Jesus had authorized for salvation. They were not willing to render, submit themselves to acceptance to what Jesus said one must do in order to be saved. So what's going to happen to these folks? In the first part of that, in verse number 8, he says, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God. These folks here did not have a spiritual relationship with God based on his terms. I want to say that again. They did not have a spiritual relationship with God based on God's terms. Man tried to determine how he was going to worship God, how he was going to come to God, and how he was going to have a relationship with God. And Jesus says no. Paul says no. They do not know God. They do not have a spiritual relationship with God. Jesus says this as well in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus made the statement, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, will enter. Now watch what he said. Many on that day are going to say, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name cast out demons, in your name perform many wonderful works? They're going to tell Jesus, we perform miracles, we cast out demons, we did many wonderful works. But watch the next statement Jesus tells them. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. That word knew comes from a word to mean to have a spiritual relationship with Christ based on his terms. Do you have a spiritual relationship with Christ based on his terms? He said, ye that worketh in iniquity. That means under your own laws. You try to create your own path on how you was going to have a spiritual relationship with God. And no one has that authority but God. No one has that authority to determine how man is going to have a relationship with him but God. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That word power means authority. He's the one who determines the authority, and he tells us how we're going to have a spiritual relationship with God. So I want you to leave here tonight knowing, how do I have a spiritual relationship with God based on his term? Because those that know not God, they're going to receive some things, amen, that they can never turn around once this happens, you all. They can never turn around once this happens. So he goes on here, still in 2 Thessalonians here. He says, these will pay the penalty, verse 9, of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, them that obey not the gospel. Well, number one, let's look back again to the word obey, to render yourself submissive, acceptance to the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ, acceptance to what Jesus said one must do in order to be saved. Well, why do you need to obey the gospel? Here's the million-dollar question. Why do you need to obey the gospel? Because many people listening to a sermon, they still don't know that they need to obey. They don't understand this. Well, why do you need to obey the gospel? I'm going to allow Paul to explain that to us. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. Romans, the chapter is 3 and verse number 23. I know we can quote this verse, but we're going to go and read it. Romans, the chapter is 3 and verse number 23. Everyone knows this verse, but are we going to obey what Christ is saying here? In Romans, the chapter is 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why do you need to obey the gospel? Because all of us have fallen short. In other words, everyone has sinned. Amen. Everyone has sinned. And because of sin, it causes me to fall short up from God. We have people who believe that I'm a good person, or I don't deserve to go to hell because I'm a good person. You have to understand who determines what's good. Notice that these people said in Matthew 7 that we quoted a few seconds ago, they prophesied in Jesus' name. They cast out demons in Jesus' name. They did many wonderful works in Jesus' name, but they did not have a spiritual relationship with Jesus in Jesus' name. And so here you see that Paul says, all have sinned. So because all have sinned or committed sin, all need to be saved. You need to obey the gospel because you are in sin. And if you are in sin, my friend, you're not good. Your family may tell you you're good. Your parents may tell you you're good. You may think that your parents are good. But the Bible says that God determines what's good. Let's go to Matthew and look at this. Let's go to Matthew so you can see that God determines what's good. And this young man comes to Jesus and asks this question. But I love how Jesus stopped him and asked him a question first as he was asking him a question. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 16, and the Bible says, and someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good things should I do that I may obtain eternal life?" See, man always thinks that good is through him. Mankind thinks that good is through them. Good is not through you. Good is through God. That's who's good. And if we obey God, we become good. Watch what the Bible says. And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good." Jesus says, who's good? There's only one who's good. That's God. So if God is the only one that's good, the rest of us have committed sin. And you need to obey the gospel because you are in sin. No matter how good you may think you are in sin. One sin can cause you to lose your soul. When Adam and Eve committed sin, the Bible didn't say sin. They committed a sin. And when they committed that sin, they was escorted out of the garden. They never went back in because of that one sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death in Romans, the chapter 6 and verse 23. So why do you need to be saved? Why do you need to obey, to submit yourself to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why do you need to do that? Because you are in sin. Jesus told his apostles, if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come. Now, if he tells the apostles that, who walked with him, what do you think that means to everyone else? Amen. That you are in sin. And if I'm in sin, I need to be freed from this sin. And the only way I'm going to be free from sin is through obeying the gospel. So again, why do you need to obey the gospel? Because you are in sin. If you hadn't been saved according to the doctrine of Christ by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are still in sin. Now, you have some folks, and I want y'all to get this, who believe that because I go to a church or I go to some religious services that I can be saved, that I'm saved, that I'm okay, I have a relationship with God because I go to some type of religious service. But I want you to see what Luke says about this as well. In Luke, the chapter is 13 and verse number 22. Luke 13 and verse number 22. The Bible says here in Luke 13, verse 22, like I said, we have some folks that go through the motion. They think if they just come into a worship service, they go to some church, that I'm fine, I'm doing good, and God is going to recognize me. Watch what the Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse 22. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" Now listen to the question. "Lord, are there not a few who are being saved?" He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. It's not that they can't find the door. It's not that the door is hard. It's because they do not want to submit themselves, to render themselves, to accept what Jesus has said. This is what Jesus is saying. He goes on here and says, "Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open up to us,' then he will answer and say, 'I do not know where you are from.'" He says, "I don't recognize you." Now, if the door was hard to find or hard to get in, why would Jesus say they see the door, they knock on the door, but they come when the door is closed? Why do I need to obey the gospel? Because the door is open for me, waiting for me to be saved. I have to walk through. I have to submit myself to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't want to be them that have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Watch what the Bible says. He's going to keep going here. He says, they will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. Notice what God called them, evil. These folks think that they're good. We have folks walking around thinking that they're good, and God is saying you're evil because of sin. But the love of God will relinquish you from that sin and from those evil ways if you would come to him. Amen. Now notice what Jesus says here. They said to him, you taught in our streets. We ate with you. See, we believe just because we go to some religious service or we think we're in the presence of God that we're fine. But Jesus says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Why did Jesus not know them? Because they have not obeyed the gospel. They didn't submit themselves to the will of God. They may have eaten with Jesus. They may have drank with Jesus. They may have listened to him talk in their street. But guess what they did not do? They did not submit themselves to the will of God. That's what that word obey means. We have to be submissive. So many folks won't come to Christ because they will not submit themselves to the gospel. And that day is going to come, but they're going to be destroyed. Let's keep going here when you look at the will of God and obeying and why do you need to obey? And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God determines what's good. You all, I want you all to look at something here for the few minutes that we have left as we are going through this lesson. When you look at God's pattern for preparing man to be saved, God used a sacrifice from the beginning. And so when you are if you're not going to submit yourself to the gospel, if you're not going to be submissive to what Jesus said one must do in order to be saved, then you're going to reject the only way that you can receive salvation. When Adam and Eve sinned, I want you all to see what transpired here, and I want to show you that they couldn't fix the situation. Amen. So turn to Genesis, the chapter is 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to see here when their eyes are open and God asks Adam, where are you? I want you all to see this here. So the Bible says in verse number 7, Genesis chapter 3, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin covered. I want you all to catch this, you all. Here is man and woman, the only two humans on earth. They try to fix their situation. They sow fig leaves to try to cover themselves spiritually and physically. But I want you to know God is going to do something here. Let's keep going. So they sow fig leaves. The Bible says, then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Then God called to the man and said to him, where are you? I want y'all to understand this. God knew where Adam was. God wanted Adam to know where he was, where Adam was. Adam at this time, for the first time, was separated from God. Here's Adam trying to hide himself. You already been hid from God because your sin have separated between you two. Now watch what God does. Remember what I said, that Adam and Eve tried to fix their situation? Watch what the Bible says here. And still in chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now the man called his wife named Eve because she was the morning of all living things. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. See, you can't fix your sin yourself. You're going to need God. And here God comes in and performs the first sacrifice, because the animal had to be sacrificed. So here's the process and here's the pattern that God starts. He starts with an animal sacrifice. And an animal was sacrificed because of the sins of man and woman. And so after this animal sacrifice, God clothed them with the skin of that animal. Let's keep looking at this pattern. Go to Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 20. Genesis, the chapters 8 and verse number 20. This is Noah coming off the ark for the first time after the great flood. And watch what Noah does. In Noah chapter 8 and verse number 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So here's Noah again offering an offering to God on the altar. So here you see a sacrifice. And notice what the Bible says. The Lord smelled, verse 21, the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. God said the aroma was good because this was the aroma that was authorized by God. Let's keep going, you all. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah here. In Isaiah chapter 52, because I want you all to see the last sacrifice that was going to come. The last sacrifice that was going to come. In Isaiah 52, in Isaiah chapter 52, in verse number 13, the Bible says, behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred, grossly, detestably. He was beaten beyond recognition. This is a messianic passage talking about the coming of the Messiah. And here it is showing that he's going to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice never looked pretty. A sacrifice was ripped. A sacrifice was torn to shreds. The Bible says, just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his people was marred more than any man. It says, and his form more than the sons of man. Why was his appearance marred more than any man? Because Jesus did not beg for his life. As the Roman soldiers are beating him and they're using a device, as it hits the body of Jesus, it is tearing the flesh from the bone. It's tearing the housing around his vital organs are being exposed by this beating that he's taking because he had to be the payment for sin. Jesus is becoming the payment for sin. And when I do not obey this, when I don't subject myself to this, I'm rejecting the only payment that God will accept. I'm rejecting the only payment that God will accept. God himself came down and became the propitiation. That word propitiation means payment for sin. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he didn't just say all my work is done. He said sin is paid for. He said sin is paid for. There's no way now that man can go into hell. There's no way now that man can go into hell. So when you look at them that obey not the gospel, why would they receive eternal punishment? Because they spurn the salvation that God has offered. The Bible says, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians, the chapter 1. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. The Bible says here, so why then will they receive the penalty that they're going to receive? He says here, look back down at verse number 8, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and obey not the gospel of our Lord, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. Them that know not God will receive eternal destruction. Why? You have spurned so great a salvation. You have rejected the only means that mankind can be saved, the only means that you can be saved. There's no other way that man can be saved. There's no other name whereby man can be saved. And so if you look at this, how can I reject the gospel and be saved? There's no way. Watch what the Hebrew writer says here in Hebrews chapter 2. I know my time is running out. Hebrews chapter 2, here you all. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, Hebrews 2 and 1, you all got to write this scripture down, Hebrews 2 and 1. For this reason, we must pay a much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For we have spoken through For if the word spoken through angels prove unalterable, and every transgression and every transgression and disobedience receive a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken from through the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard, he said, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Why is this salvation so great? Because Jesus himself, God himself came down and became the payment for sin. He didn't send an angel. He came himself. You all, Jesus was taken by the hand of godless men. He was beaten beyond recognition. Each of those stripes, as his flesh being pulled from his body, that was for payment for sin. The Bible says they spit upon him. That was payment for sin. They pushed a crown of thorns down on his head. That was payment for sin. They mocked him. That was payment for sin. They made him bear his own cross. That was payment for sin. They hung him between two thieves. That was payment for sin. As he was breathing his last breath, he said, I thirst. They went to give him sour wine. That was payment for sin. Jesus refused that because that was a sign of mocking. They wouldn't even allow him to die at peace on the cross. They wasn't concerned about Jesus being thirsty. They were concerned about Jesus being thirsty. They would have never put him up there. That was payment for sin. As they were nailing him to the cross, he was making this statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A second statement he made was, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Because, son, you're carrying the sins of the world, and you'll be about to become the payment for sin. And the last thing Jesus said was, it is finished. I have paid for sin. Friends, God has paid for sin. But do you want to accept that payment? Jesus told his apostles, go and preach how I was crucified. Go and preach how I was nailed between two godless men. Go and preach that I died and was rose on the third day. If they believe that and willing to be baptized, they will be saved. Friends, you can be saved the same way they were saved on the day of Pentecost. You've heard how Christ was crucified. You heard how he came up out of the grave on the third day. Do you believe that? Are you willing to turn from sin? You can be baptized today for the remission of your sin. And you won't be like these folks who are no obey not the gospel. You won't be eternally separated from God. You won't be eternally suffering. You won't be eternally condemned like those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you look at the book of Revelation, I got 2 minutes in Revelation. The Bible said, whosoever name was found not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But let me read you one more scripture out of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6, blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? This is the baptism. This is meeting the blood of Jesus Christ. This is being circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. You have folks who say, Brother Sean, you don't need baptism. Well, how are you circumcised with a circumcision that's not made with hands? In the putting away of the flesh. Paul said, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. How can you be raised up with Christ if you haven't died with him? If you haven't died with the flesh? You can be saved today. Jesus paid for sin. Will you accept it? Will you render yourself submissive to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Will you render yourself submissive? Because if we don't submit now, we will submit later. God has done everything in his power to make sure that mankind has the right to salvation. Don't spurn your chance. Obey the gospel before it's eternally too late. This lesson is yours. If you need to obey the gospel, please contact my brother. Please contact me. You've heard how Christ was crucified. Do you believe that? Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins? And Christ will add you to the church, which is his church. Amen. This lesson is yours.
Thank you, Brother Sean, for bringing that message to us. We appreciate you so very much for bringing this message to our listening audience tonight. This is what we wanted you to hear. You know, you don't want to be in that group that obey not the gospel. Simply put it, the gospel is that whole old story. An old story how Savior came from glory. In obedience to the gospel, simply baptism, death, burial, and resurrection, such as Jesus had, and then added to the one church, the Church of Christ. So to our visitors, this is what we wanted you to hear. Don't, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you have not obeyed the gospel. You have not been baptized in water for the remission of your sins according to the truth. You're in that group of them that would hear Jesus say, I never knew you. You were workers of iniquity. We're so thankful that all over this nation we got sound preachers like Brother Sean coming on our program tonight. And the Lord's called. Many people have called in tonight. We're so thankful. Have so many callers on tonight. And so those who are on the call tonight, not members of the Church of Christ, we want you to get back with the person who invited you. That's a member of the Church of Christ, invited you to the call. They wanted you to hear this message. They wanted you to hear this truth. Tell them you want to know more, you want to be baptized, whatever the case may be. Or email us. We take care of your Bible class. We take care of getting you baptized. We take care of making sure we do everything we have to do make sure your soul is saved. And we've done that for many across this nation. We make the arrangements for you. Go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Now, maybe you want to go back and listen to the message. You want to slow it down, and go back and review the scriptures for yourself. Go ahead and go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. .net. Go ahead and click on sermons, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. All of our sermons are there. Many different topics are there. Maybe you want to know more about the one church. Maybe you want to know about baptism, more about the Lord's Supper, how we should be worshiping. All those are on the call. All of our speakers have over 100 and some speakers. We got many topics there. So there's no reason why you can't have all your questions answered. But remember this, tomorrow is not promised. The truth gonna always be the truth. You gotta make a decision. Don't keep putting it off. Save yourself. This generation is not going toward God. Your generation, the people who believe God, will believe the Bible. And they will obey it just like God said. We thank you for being on the call. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you for your manservant, brother Sean Evans from Tylertown, Mississippi. We pray, Father, that you would bless him and his ministry. We thank you for his message tonight. Now we pray for our visitors who are listening tonight that they will be able to receive your word with meekness and obey it for it's everlasting, eternally too late. We pray for our visitors. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ across this nation that are being edified as we are identifying the men who can still preach the simple truth. Thank you, Father, for loving us and giving your son. We thank Jesus, your son, for giving his life on that cross, shedding the blood that washed our sins away in baptism and purchased his one church, the Church of Christ. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for calling in tonight. We thank everybody for calling. Please call us again tomorrow night. Call in from 9 to 9:30 for the Mail Free Trail from Birmingham, Alabama. The Lord added the saved to the church. You want to hear that one? And then Wednesday night, Brother Terry Hill from Wink, Texas, the first day of the week. You want to know why we take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Maybe you're taking it on every once a month. But the Christians took it on the first day of the week. There's something important about the first day of the week you need to know about. And then Thursday night, Brother Ronnie Fisher, Denton, Texas, the man of sorrows. There's a man you need to know about. And then closing us out this week, Brother Horace Jeremiah, Sister Minister, here at Holland Heights, the baptism that saves. thank those who have bothered. You all have been great. We've getting all kind of donations coming in. We're not even pushing for a donation, but you know what? Sending them is more, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So those who are giving to our program, thank you so very much. Don't feel pressured. No one should feel pressured. This program is going to go on and on, and we don't know when we're going to stop this thing. But if you want to support us, certainly we will accept your donation. Go ahead and go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. You can go to online giving. There's a P.O. box. You can mail it. You can go online and give to it. But don't feel pressured. You don't have to. That's not a requirement. We do thank you all. And we thank all of our brothers and sisters who have supported us. We're so excited. Tonight's call was a huge call. It's amazing. After 5 months, the call is still growing. What a blessing. We know this. God has given the increase. Lay down tonight in peace if you're saved. Lay your head on the pillow knowing you're okay with God. But if you're not saved, maybe you can't be at peace. But that's you. That's because you haven't made the decision to obey the gospel. You can do that, and that way you can lay down tonight in peace. May God bless you all. We love you, and we speak the truth in love. Good night.